recapping
slash doing something new at the same time. So last week we finished the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, and this week we are going to try, as you can see from the, not only do we have three double-sided sheets, but I made them into 8.5 by 14s instead of 8.5 by 11s, so chances are we're not going to succeed in totality. But we're going to try to review the approach of the Abarbanel into the second chapter of Pirkei Avos. We have not seen this idea yet. The Abarbanel is one of the few commentators who argue that you can find running themes throughout each chapter in Pirkei Avos, that each one is trying to debate a certain question, and that chapter 2 is debating the question that we're about to see. And then we're going to go through, hopefully, each or as many Mishnayos as possible in chapter 2. For those who have been here before, who came to all the Shirim, it'll be a review of those Mishnayos through the lens of the Abarbanel. For those who were not here, we should be okay in terms of picking up the main points, and it's good to do some review of chapter 2 anyway. So, here we go. We're starting with Avos chapter 2. That should say Mishnah 1, not Mishnah 2. Rebbe Omer, so this is how the Mishnah starts. Rebbe Omer, Ezu hi derech yeshara sheyavar lo ha'adam. What is the correct, proper way that a person should traverse? Kol shehi tiferes le'oseha v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Rebbe Yudanasi starts off the chapter by saying that the way, the path that we should take is a path that is going to be both bring glory to people as well as to God. We'll just go with that interpretation. Remember, everything we say, we spent weeks on everything. We can pick apart and analyze and give a different explanation. That's not the goal for today. It's basically an overview of the main parts of the Mishnah. So that's the first thing that Rebbe Yudanasi says. V'heve zahir b'mitzvah kala kibbechamura. You should be careful with easy mitzvos, like more difficult mitzvos, because you do not know what the reward of mitzvos are, so treat all of them equally, even if you think one is more easy, quote-unquote, than the next. Vehebe, the third thing he suggests, vehebe mechashev hefzed mitzvah keneged schara, you should calculate the loss that you will get from a mitzvah, from performing the mitzvah keneged, in contrast to the schar that you're going to get for the mitzvah, and presumably the outcome is going to be that there's more schar than whatever you're going to have to give up to perform that mitzvah. V'schar avera keneged hefseda, and the flip for the avera, whatever reward, benefit, pleasure you might get from the avera, calculate that against the negative consequences that you will that will happen because of that sin. And then finally, he ends off his Mishnah by saying, look at these three things and you will not come to sin. Know what's on top of you, above you, meaning presumably God, but instead of saying God, he gives us a metaphor. An eye that sees, an ear that hears, and all of your things that you do are written down. So here's Rebbe Yudanasi's Mishnah in brief recap form. What in the world does this have to do with the Abarbanel's big picture here in terms of how he's going to look at this whole chapter? What's the main thrust, the question of the chapter that Rebbe Yudanasi seems to be taking on in his first Mishnah? So let's delve into the Abarbanel underneath this first source. Hamefarshim lo biaru. We're obviously not going to be able to read every single word inside, but you'll get a little bit of a picture. Hamefarshim lo biaru kavanas kolelos beferush hazeh v'lo be'echad mishar prakei hamesach hazo. So the Abarbanel, writing in the 15th century, starts off by saying that all the Mefarshim that he has dealt with have looked at each Mishnah on a localized level. Meaning each Mishnah teaches me something different. Nobody looks for broader themes, according to the Abarbanel, before him. All the other Mefarshim don't see a connection between them. Like I've already explained to you in the first chapter. So obviously he's going to say, that's not my opinion. My opinion is that there's a broader connecting theme amongst all of the chapter. One of the things that we're going to do is try to critically analyze the Abarbanel. To what extent is he stretching? To what extent is he reaching? If nobody else did it before him, presumably there's a reason why nobody else did it before him. And it's not just because Abarbanel woke up one day and said, oh wow, nobody else decided to look to see if there was a theme, I'm the first one to do it. presumably everybody else might have thought, okay, maybe there's a theme. Mishnah 1, Mishnah 2, Mishnah 3. Oh, there's no theme. Right? There's no connection here. So we're going to have to try to analyze and see what the Abarba Benel says. And is this a little bit too much of a stretch? Is he reading too much into this in order to prove his broader thesis? So what is the thesis? Second little paragraph, third line here. Omer, Shekvar bi'arti b'akdama rishona, sherebi hu rabbeinu ha'kodosh. When we say in the Mishnah, Rebbe, that is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, hu Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, v'lama kinu b'chinum eila. We already explained why he has these nicknames. V'acharei asher b'perek ha'rishon, Zachar, Seder HaKabbalah. So what was the essence of first parak? And this we're already going. Right, Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai. So one of the essential lessons of the first parak of Perkei Avos is that we have a Masorah, a tradition. So that's one element of the first parak. V'zikaron Chachmei HaMishnah Asher Kiblu Zumizu. And we go chain, link from one generation to the next. Ad Mos Rabbeinu HaKadosh until Rabbeinu HaKadosh Yehuda Nasi dies. Shekasav HaPeresh HaMakubal B'Sefer Chibur HaMishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah. Vayah Perak Ahu Arishon Yuchal Deber Dibre Shimon Al Tzadik. So the first Mishnah, the first Perak. So what was the essence of the first Perak? We didn't do this, right? But according to the Abarba Benel, we could do this also if you want. At some point, we could review the first Perak. According to the Abarba Benel, the whole point of the first Perak was all an elaboration and an explanation of one Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Torah Avot Degemilas Chasadim. The whole prism of the first parak can be looked at as explanation of Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasadim. Lebeir, reading it back inside, Lebeir Divrei Shimon HaTzadik, Mea Torah, Mea Avoda of Gemilus Chasadim, Kemoshe Be'arti. So everything until this point has been an explanation of those three principles. Rebbe Parak HaSheni Azeh. So now Rebbe Yehuda Nasi comes. And the second chapter is going to be about Haderech Asher Yavi HaAdam L'Shleimuto B'Ma'asav. Here is the essence. Here is the essence of this parak. How do we become Shalem, which translate now as perfected, with our actions? When we interact with the world, what is supposed to be our conceptualization? How do we get to perfection? Shlemus. So it sounds like an easy question. What should be the answer to that?
Mitzvot.
Torah and mitzvot. Right? What other options do we have? Right? What, so is there another option? Or is that just it? It's all about Torah and mitzvot. End of story. Stop the parak. Why do we have to talk anymore? Okay, so now we start introducing more principles. What about Derech Eretz? What about Menschlichkeit? Is that essenced or rooted in the Torah? Or is there something separate that can be learned from studying broader subjects, studying secular philosophies, studying things that are outside of a normal standard Torah framework? Are those things we should be looking at in order to decide what is the perfection of my actions? How should I interact with the world? So this question, according to the Abarba Benel, is going to be the running theme of the entire chapter 2. So read that back inside. Should my actions be determined based on what Seichel Iyuni? Seichel Iyuni? Intellect. What I think. What human minds can get on their own. Common sense, things that seem correct from my own thought processes. That's possibility A. What's possibility B? Is it all come down to learning Torah, understanding Torah, following Torah? Oh, maybe there's a third option. What's our third option? A combination. Can we combine our intellect with our religion? So what's the proper approach? Is it Torah only? Is it Derech Eretz philosophy only? Or is it some sort of combination? And just to put this into a historical perspective, Rabbi Bernal is saying that this debate that was going on in the times, what he's saying, was going on in the times of Chazal, that was the raging debate of his day also. Right? You have the Rambam and the philosophies and the philosophers and all of that stuff. And then you have the Torah only, don't look at philosophy. And then you have the Abarbanel sitting a few hundred years later looking at everything that's happening over the course of that time since the Rambam and before that and saying, okay, so what's the right approach? Well, guess what? This isn't the first time this has been debated. Let's look in Pirkei Avos and see what they have to say. And not only is it just one obscure random Mishnah, it's the entire chapter 2. Debated for hundreds of years within the Tanaim as well. Continuing inside, we're in the middle of that first paragraph, second word in the line after a period is Vizehu. Vizehu hayisod asher alav nivna haperek hazeh. The entire chapter is built on this. Vakotev asher alav yisuvaveu ma'amarim kulam. Every single statement in chapter 2 is revolving around this idea. And who gets first dibs at the discussion? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Vayta Mishnah Rishonah Azot Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Right? I guess if you're organizing the Mishnayos and you want to start off a debate, start with yourself. Right? So Rabbeinu HaKadosh starts off the debate. Because remember, it's an important point, because historically, as we'll see, the reason why we, when we learned the Mishnayos, started at Mishnah 8 was because we were going from a chronological order. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came after the end of the first chapter. So there's something strange in the second chapter that it jumps basically 100 years forward and then rewinds backwards. According to the Abarbanel, that's because the theme is not chronology now. In the first chapter, it was. In the first chapter, I'm teaching you order. I'm teaching you how the Masorah passed on from generation to generation. Now we have a broader theme. Our broader theme is Torah and or philosophy, and how that impacts. So we're going to start with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So where does he come down on the debate? And remember, every time we're going to read a Mishnah, we're going to have to think about, according to the Abarbanel, how does this play into this discussion? So how does Rabbi Yehuda Nasi play into the discussion? V'zehu yisod asher alav nivna. Fine. V'ayta mishnah rishonah hazot l'Rabbeinu HaKadosh. L'fi shehu nimshach bizman l'kabalat ha-Torah acharei aviv Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel shenizkar b'sof ha-perek ha-rishon v'lachein ba acharav mamar b'no Rebbe. So he does explain, sort of based on chronology, that it's a continuation from his father, b'no Rebbe. V'lo kiven b'mishnato zot l'hazir b'nei adam b'nagat ha-midot k'fi ha-chachmat ha-medinit v'ha-hit philosophit levakesh haderecha emsa'i velevroach min haktzavot kmo shechashav haRambam. So he starts off by saying, this Mishnah is not like the Rambam. The Rambam understands this Mishnah as teaching me that how do I find favor in the eyes of others and in the eyes of God. According to the Rambam, what do I have to do? Middle path. According to the Rambam, it's always middle path, middle path, middle path. He says that Rabbanel has nothing to do with the middle path. Kikvar lamanu atorah derech hayishar b'chol amidos. Now we're up to there's a little bit of a gap, so it's a sort of a second paragraph. V'hagvul haro'i v'asiyatam. So he says here, we don't need middle paths. What do we have? We have the Torah. The Torah taught us what the derech hayishar is. Now the Rambam would probably say that he thinks the middle path is rooted in the Torah, so we'd have to debate that a little bit, but let's leave that for now. Alav ein lohosif umimenu ein ligroa. What do we have? We have the Torah. We don't add to the Torah, we don't subtract to the Torah, we don't add Aristotle's golden mean, we don't add anything. It's Torah and Torah only. Ve'ein tzorech la'adam levakesh al pi svarato v'hitchachmoto derech acher. You don't have to start analyzing and thinking, what is my brain tell me right now? What am I thinking? What is my conscience telling me? No, forget that. That's not what we need. What do we need? It's all about the Torah. That's it. Don't worry about your mind. Don't worry about philosophy. Don't worry about thinking and seichel and all that. Follow the Torah. End of story. Aval, hayta kavanat Rebbe lahagdil ma'alat haTorah v'klaluta b'chol advarim ha'mevim el hashleimut. Rebbe wanted us to emphasize Torah as the way to achieving perfection. Ulezet Amar, Hineh Adam Bameshu Adam. Now he's making a diuk here. What was the first thing that Rebbe said? What's the Derech Yeshara Shiavor Lo Ha'adam? Who's Ha'adam? Who's Ha'adam? We are. How inclusive is the term Ha'adam? Everyone. It's a universal term. Ha'adam. So that's an important clue, he says. Hinei adam b'meshehu adam. In terms of your universal human element, kasher yivchar latzmo derech yishara lalachet ba b'masav, if you're going to choose as a human being the correct path, halo yasim hishtadluto levakesha davar hana'a v'livchor ota mehameguna. So if you're choosing from a human universal level, so you're going to pick what brings you joy and not things that bring you despair, things that are harmful. The habreira hazot tia im kifi sichlo v'dato. And how do I figure that out? My mind. Right? As an Adam, I decide what to do and what not to do based on the pleasure that I get from it, if it makes sense to me, if it feels good perhaps. So I do that, and I stay away from things that are harmful. Kimamar Shlomo, Shlomo says, Al derech ish yashar be'inav. People do what's yashar be'inav in my own seichel, in my own eyes. V'im kefi dat habriot, sheheim hamelamdim ha-kololim l'kol adam. If you're going to look at the broader, again, universal elements, v'u omro ezu derech yashar she'avar lo adam. That's what Rebbe's saying in terms of the universal level. Rotze lomar, b'meshuhu adam, mibli b'china el dat v'torah nivcheret. We're isolating, in the beginning, we're isolating Torah from the discussion. As in Adam, not as a Jew, but as in Adam, I choose based on seichel, nothing to do with Torah. Halohi mashatia tiferet loseh shebeinav hu derech yafe. In my own eyes, tiferet loseh, to the one who does it, it makes sense. It feels good. It sounds right. It's my conscience telling me to do it. Derech yafa v'naot v'itnaheg al da'ato. And that's what I'm going to follow. Ve'im mashihi tiferet lo min ha'adam. What about things that will bring glory to me or bring glory to others? V'hu ha'derech shebnei adam kulam yashvichu alav. So other people are going to praise me. Yafe v'na'eh. They're going to say, you're doing a good job. O yaperu shamaisam ha'mishbachim ba'adam sheroi sheyivchar behem heim otam shem tiferet lo osel. V'tiferetu lo b'meshu adam ba'al seichel v'tfuna. Lo b'mesh yaseh v'shagam u'basar b'machal v'mishtev mishkol v'inyinei chush ha'mishush asher heim cherpalo kim b'meshu tiferet lo me'atzad shu adam sichli. So he's starting off again, just repetitive to some extent, is that everything until this point, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is setting up, as a human being, I follow my seichel. I follow my common sense, my iyun, things that make sense to me. So follow the seichel. Now remember, that doesn't mean, he's pointing out here, I want to make sure that this isn't misunderstood. On a philosophical level, if you follow what is right, that is not the same thing. If you take Torah out of the equation, and you're just going on a philosophical level, that doesn't mean, okay, so everything goes. Do what you want. Follow all of your pleasures and desires and eat and drink and be merry. From a philosophical level, he's saying, if you go with the classic philosophers, that's wrong too. Right? You should limit the amount of pleasures, the bodily pleasures, and follow more in terms of your seichel. That makes sense on a philosophical level, not just on a specific Torah level. So he's saying here, if you just follow the das and the seichel and the philosophy, you'll come away with do things that follow seichel. Your own mind created this, came up with this, but it's still not Torah. But my point right now is that it's not hefker. It's not like by das, and you'll just follow your own way, you're going to end up being this crazy person who does whatever he wants. Yeah.
So it's interesting. You quote Shlomo Hamelach. Yesterday we learned that Shlomo, using his own seichel, violated two principles that were stated explicitly for a king about horses and wives.
Okay, good. So that's a perfect. What I said before in terms of how this debate. Goes back not just to medieval times, but goes back to the Tanaim, take it back a bunch of more generations. It goes back to Shlomo HaMelech. It goes back, to the times of the Torah as well. I'm saying so that's a good point. Okay, but hold on. We got a lot to do. So let's build for a little bit longer. So now, that's all the setting point. He's not done yet. The Amar Rebbe, we're in the next paragraph now, so it's sort of smack in the middle of the page. Full new paragraph. The first word is the Amar. The Amar Rebbe, That's all your choices when it comes to you as a human being. That doesn't include any level of enlightenment and religious Torah input. Aval ata bini, but you, my children, my son, shebeshem Yisrael tichna lo tasechem. You don't follow this approach. That approach is for Adam. You're not Adam. You're Bnei Yisrael. V'lo tibor derech yishar kefi asecho v'achakir api l'sofit. Don't follow the straight path and my seichel, what my intelligence tells me, according to the philosophical level. Lo al datcha v'lo al dat acherim. Don't rely on your own das, and don't rely on other people's knowledge as well. Aval have zahir b'mitzvah kala k'mitzvah ha'mura, ki derech ha'mitzvos hu ha'derech ha'yishara, shebachar Hashem Yisbarach l'shlemos imo. What do we need to do? It's all about the mitzvos. Right? So don't start thinking about your seichel, think about the mitzvos. Now, so what he just did, if you read back in the beginning of the Mishnah, it's pretty fascinating. Right? He just said that the first part of the Mishnah is actually not a lesson that we should follow. Right? Read the Mishnah again. Rebbe Omer, Ezu derech yishar shiyavar lo adam, kol shi tiferet lo sev, tiferet lo min adam. When we read that the first time, we spent, you know, lots of time analyzing how that makes sense, how we should follow what's good for us and what's good for the others and what's good for, you know, what other people think about us. And he just backhanded that and said that's all a setup as to what we shouldn't do. That's only for Ha'adam. Right? That's only an introduction. What's the essential point? Is the next statement. Ve'vezar b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. Don't worry about the Adam element. Worry about the Torah element. Forget about philosophy, just focus on Torah. I don't know if you want to call that a simple read of the Mishnah, but he basically said that the first introductory point is what we're not following. That's our straw man that we are contrasting against. Don't follow what makes sense to you, instead follow mitzvahs, follow Torah, ignore philosophy.
It looks like it's both because it begins with a vav. Then, and they zohi b'mitzvah kala.
Right. So from a simple read, it sounds like it's two separate things.
It's a conjunction and...
Sort right. Of like I hear. I assume the Abarbanel knew that, but still convinced on his own. Right. Fine. So now, he continues a little bit, but I think we have enough of a setup. So basically, for now, what we have is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi starting the chapter by pinning these two opinions against each other and quote-unquote poskening, saying that one is more correct. It's Torah versus philosophy. Only choose Torah, ignore philosophy. Philosophy is for Ha'adam, we're Bnei Yisrael, we choose Torah. Now flip the page. Now Mishnah 2. I know we spent a good 20 minutes or so going through Mishnah 1, and we have another 15 Mishnahs to go, so you can do the calculations on your own. But as you'll see, once we set up Mishnah 1 versus Mishnah 2, the rest sort of fall into place a little bit easier. So we're setting up the main idea, and then we should go a little bit quicker, but if we don't end up finishing everything, you could have some homework to do over vacation. So, now, Mishnah 2. What's Mishnah 2? Mishnah 2 is Rabban Gamliel. What is Rabban Gamliel? Benosh or Yudah Nasi. So his son is coming into the picture now and saying as follows. Yofa Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Shegiya shnei mishkachas avam. So this one is probably the simplest read in terms of this paradigm, is that Rabban Gamliel is saying, is a combination. It's not just, he's reading, Rabban Gamliel is going to read this as, in contrast to my father who said it's all about Torah, I'm coming and saying it's about a combination. Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, shegiya shnei mishkachas avon, because by doing both of these, we are going to forget sin. V'chol ha-Torah she'eini ma'malacha sofa b'teilav goreret avon, and I need to combine my Torah with work, because without that, both, presumably the Torah and the work, will not work out and cause sin. V'chol ha'melim ha'tzibur yu ha'melim ha'mahem l'shem shamayim. Everything I do for the tzibur purposes should be for the sake of heaven. Sh'eschus abosam misayasan, because the merit of their forefathers will protect them, help them. V'tzikasam ha'medes la'ad, their righteousness will endure forever. V'atem ale ani aleichem schar harbek ki'ilu asisem, and I'm going to give you lots of reward. It's as if you did it. Now, so the abarbit. Yeah. Okay, that's not simplistic. That's a good question. Let's see how the Barbanel does it. When we did this Mishnah on its own, we saw a bunch of different examples, and we spent a lot of time on that. For now, we're not going to get into that debate. We're just going to see how the Barbanel does it, and then we'll hopefully that's enough for now. We can talk about it a little bit afterwards. So here we go. In simplistic terms, your options are it either means midos or it means work. That's the easy answer. So now, the Omer. Shereb Megamliel b'mesha amro derech eretz umalacha lo kiven umnos hayadayim ki im al hachachma hamedinit v'yediat hamidot hameshubachot v'hanagata. Dear Barbanel answers your question from his perspective and says that derech eretz and the term malacha are not referring to working. It's not referring to working with your hands, to a job. Rather, what's it referring to? But not just character development. Let's read each one of those. Hachachma hamedinit. What's chachma hamedinit? I wouldn't say politics. I would say social intelligence, knowledge of how the world works, way of the world. Politics might be involved in that, but that's too limited. Right. So to know how to interact with others on a more broad worldly level. V'yediyas hamidos hameshubachos v'hanagatam, and what the proper character traits are supposed to be. Now, if we set up the definition like that, he's basically saying is that that's philosophy, right? I mean, that's what philosophers deal with. They deal with social interactions and how to make the best society possible from a philosophical, intellectual, seichel level. So now the Mishnah is set up in terms of this question. Is it philosophy? Is it Torah? Is it a combination of both? How do they combine together? Obviously, nobody in Perkei Avos is going to say it's only philosophy. So let's be clear about that. The question is it Torah only, or is it Torah and philosophical knowledge? Middle of the second line. Ki al zeh ne'amar be'emet derech eretz v'shem melacha alav ne'amar gam kein lefi sheyedia hamidotit tachlita hama'aseh. Because the knowledge is an interesting formulation here. The knowledge of knowing social norms is for the purpose of action. So this isn't just a abstract philosophical question. The reason why we call it derech eretz and melacha is because there should be some element of I am now going to behave differently because of these concepts and ideas. It's not just a class that I take in college. It's how I behave. It's my character. V'chen nikra b'divrei ha-philosophim malacha gam. He says in the philosophical works, it's actually this concept is called malacha. Ki ha-Torah elokit hi be'erach ha-teva b'yotam m'misader elyon borei ha-kol. So God created the Torah. V'anhaga medinit hi be'erach ha-malacha asher yaseh otah ha-adam. And this actions that I do in terms of the social realm is supposed to be something that comes from the person. U'kemo sh'amalacha ha-enoshit mishalemet l'teva v'tipa oto. Kacha chashav ha-chacham hazeh she'anhaga ha-medinit she'hi mif'al ha-seichel ha-ma'asi tiyem yafeh u'machshita l'hanaga ha-tori'it. So this, Rabbi Gamliel, thinks that the combination of this philosophical social realm is supposed to be, it's good to combine that with the classic religious Torah realm. The two are different tracks. One comes from my seichel, my own analysis, other people's, you know, again, philosophical inquiry, and another comes from authority, from God, but I'm supposed to combine these two together. And that's why he says, Yafa Talmud Torah im derech eretz, Rotze lomar, yafe v'noe im Talmud Torah, hanagas derech eretz kefi hamidos, I should follow what is supposed to be considered good character based on philosophical inquiry, v'lachen lo amar hechrachi v'lo tzarich, aval amar yafe, something that I it's good to do. It's not a requirement. It's not a mitzvah. It's not something that I'm obligated, but it's a good idea to follow that path. So now, he has basically set up that he argues with his father. And there's more to it. We're not going to read the whole thing inside. You read the second paragraph. He goes through the whole Mishnah to explain how you combine it, why it's good to combine it, what the forgetting of sin has to do with everything. You can read it on your own. But we now have a machlokas to start off the parak, Torah only or Torah with Derech Eretz. Everything going forth is now going to be a machlokas about this. Who do we follow? Do we follow Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who says Torah only? Do we follow Rabbi Gamliel's son, who says Torah in Derech Eretz? And remember, we're going to work backwards now, because now we're going to Hillel. Hillel predates all of this, but just in terms of how the Mishnah is set up, Hillel's going to be, quote-unquote, taking sides with each one of these. So let's see the next Mishnah, Mishnah 4 and 5. Hillel Omer, here's where the challenge begins. How creative of a mind are you going to be able to read this machlokes into these mishnayos that we're about to read? Hillel Omer, al tifrosh min atzibur, don't separate from the community, val ta'amen ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha, don't believe in yourself until the day you die, val ta'din et chavercha ad shtagia lemkomo, don't judge your friend until you get to his place, val tomar davar she'i afshar lishmoa shesofo lishamea, don't say something that can't be heard, that shouldn't be heard, because in the end it will be heard. Don't say, when I have time to learn, I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. So, what do you think? What does this have to do with anything? Notice he doesn't say really anything about Torah. Does he say anything about Derech Eretz? What is this? It seems to be out of left field if you're going according to Yvar Penel. What?
General statements,
and therefore you're saying it's Derech Eretz.
It seems to be going up ahead and conduct yourself in the real world. The real world is not black and white. It's gray.
Okay.
Yes.
What's it? Okay, so Barry's going in the opposite. So the first opinion, you guys were saying that it has to do with Derech Eretz, has to do with following the social norms. Barry's saying, no, it has to do with, the main theme is, don't trust yourself. Don't trust your seichel. Don't trust your judgment. Right?
So I think he's comparing the two, the Torah and the philosophy.
Well, which one is he suggesting that we follow? So I think let's read it inside and see who wins. Vanira Eli Bezet, just to be clear, this isn't the entire Bar Benel. I showed Chaim and Barry on Shabbos. The Bar Benel chapter 2 in the new edition is 46 pages. So these are pulled out what I thought were the essence of what we're trying to do. And to be clear, the Yavar Benel, this isn't the only thing he talks about in this parak. He has other insights, he talks about other things. But this is just the running theme that goes through. So let's see this. Va'anira Eli Bazem, Shachare Shehevi Misadera Mishnayot Dat Rabbeinu HaKadosh V'Dat Rabbe Gamliel Beno. So after we stated Rabbi Yudan Nasi's opinion that it's Torah only, and Das Rabbe Gamliel that it's a combination, Shubitzad Masoser Eli Bazem Drush, Rotze Lomar, do we need these philosophical ideas that we call Derech Eretz? So now we're going to bring proof from previous comment from previous people to say, I'm right, you're right, which one's right? So we're going to have some that prove Rebbe, some that prove Rebbe Gamliel. So we're bringing in Hillel as a proof, even though Hillel predates them many years. Rebbe. This is proving the Torah-only approach. So how does this prove the Torah-only approach? Remember, Hillel already had something to say in the first parak, to be the Talmid of Aaron, to be Oev Shalom and Rodev Shalom, Oev Zabrios and the Karb on the Torah, Udlo Mosif Yisof, Udlo Yilaf Kaplach Hayad. So Hillel already told us to be the students of Aaron, to pursue peace, and to love people, and to bring them close to Torah, and if you don't learn enough, you're Chayev Misa, Bishara, Amar, and Shama, and many other things that are said there. Amar od holech l'shitato bo tasvara al tifrosh minat zibur lahagid shezchut harabim adif. This is going to be, we still have to stretch it a little bit. So this is all going within the Torah-only approach to teach us that the schus of the rabim, of the community, is better. Okay, what does it have to do with Torah or philosophy? What is it seems to be nothing to do with anything. So he explains. V'ravtzavo kol ha'ela ha'ksuba b'sefer ha'Torah lefi sha'Torah nitna l'klalut Yisrael. The Torah was given to the tzibur, to the entire population. V'lachin haya Aaron ohev shalom v'askama ha'mitachtut b'nei Yisrael. So why was the reason that Aaron loved peace? Is because the Torah was given to the klal, and we need to stay a klal in order to have the Torah. V'im kein ein ra'ui la'adam sheitnaheg al pi sichlo. There it is. Right, therefore, since Torah is community level, community based, population based, don't rely on your own knowledge. That's not how Torah works. Aval sheyitchaber im hatzibur shekiblu alehem mitzvot haTorah la'asotam. You should attach yourself to the tzibur with the caveat that we're talking about the tzibur that accepted upon itself the Torah and the mitzvot to perform. So basically what he's doing is he's equating the concept of tzibur to the concept of Torah. Because the assumption is that the tzibur is following the Torah, so don't follow your own knowledge, follow the tzibur's knowledge, meaning follow the Torah's knowledge. I'm going to follow my own knowledge. I'm going to follow my own instinct. I'm going to follow my own passions. Don't believe yourself until the day you die. It's the same idea. Don't rely on your own seichel, on your own, oh, I'm good, I know what I'm doing, I'm awesome, I'm amazing, I'm so confident. No. Don't believe in yourself until the day you die. Don't judge other people. Don't think you know everything and you can understand everybody. What do you need to follow? Torah. Torah, Torah. Bring yourself to the tzibur. Bring yourself to Torah. That's the answer. So Hillel is going to be a proof for Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And everything Hillel says is going to bring that point home. Go to the second page now because Hillel's not done. Right, so this, I think that the point, that's his point. His point is, or Rav Aaron saying, is that we're now bringing proofs for my idea. Right, Rav Yehuda Anasi is bringing proofs for my idea from somebody who predates me. And this machlokas predates even Hillel. This is sort of like a core debate when it comes to Torah. Is it Torah only or Torah and something else, i.e. Sefer?
It has to be the Tzibur's Torah. In other words, he's not saying Torah. He's saying what the Tzibur is doing. It seems...
Right, so the stretch here, if you want to call it a stretch, is that he's calling when he says tzibur, he means Torah.
Yeah.
Right, and he explains that it means because the Torah was given to a tzibur, and that's what we follow. Main point: don't follow yourself. Right, don't follow yourself. Follow the social norms. The social norms here being the social norms of a Torah community following the Torah mitzvot. So that's the stretch. Again, when you first read it, you're thinking to yourself, this has nothing to do with Torah or Derech Eretz. This is something different. It's a completely different statement. And that's why most commentators say this is just a totally separate idea that Hillel happens to be saying. Abar Ben El saying, no, it's a continuation. So I he's not going to say this, but I'm going to say it. Maybe that means I have to stretch a little bit that when I say Tzibur, it really means Torah. He probably assumed that was clear in his eyes, that was a fair move to make.
Maybe
but again, it's a little bit...
Because he felt he was addressing certain people that lived in a Torah environment.
Right, and Perkei Avos is addressing people who's living in a Torah environment, so that's true. It's true. Okay, so what he's saying, Rich, what he's saying is that it's not subjective. Right, so from your perspective, it's subjective, and I get why that is. He's trying to say that whole idea is that it's not subjective, it's objective. If you're following the Torah, Masorah, the tradition that's been passed down, we trust that, we have faith in that, and that's what we follow. We don't follow our own subjective norms of what we think is correct. Okay, so...
Just reminded me, when we learned last week about Marbe Shalom, Staka is probably of all the mitzvot, the one that's most community... late, because this is the community taking care of each other, kind of thing, and we'll be talking here about
Shalom and peace.
Shalom, Shalom.
Okay, so that's a nice connection. That's a nice connection. Okay, good. So now, flip the second page now. We're in Mishnah 5. and 6, and then 7 are all Hillel continuations. That's why it says, Huaya Omer, Huaya Omer. So Hillel has a big platform here where he's going to continue to talk. Yabar Benel is going to have to deal with this because we just told you what Hillel believes. If we're trying to paskin, quote unquote, meaning we're trying to decide who's right, Torah or Torah and Derech Eretz. So you brought me proof from Hillel. So end the story. Go on to a different person. Why do you need to keep talking about Hillel, 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 Hillel? So what the Yabar Benel is going to do is going to say that each one of these statements of Hillel is proving the point further, and it's better to have 3 proofs than it is to have 1 proof. Okay? And that's basically what he's going to say. There are some things that Hillel says that are not addressing this issue of Torah and Derech Eretz. And briefly, the reason is, because if you notice, even in the first Mishnah, there were some things that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said that had nothing to do with Torah and Derech Eretz. The whole concept of look at 3 things, Yehuda Rabinel reads that as having to do with Schar Ba'onesh. So there's sort of like another running theme within this chapter that's less important, but has to do with the concept of reward and punishment. And Hillel's going to take on some of that too. But we're not going to focus on that. So let's read this next Mishnah, Mishnah 5. Huaya Omer, Ein Bor Yurei Chet, V'lo Am Ha'aretz Chasid, V'lo Abayshan Lamed, V'lo Kaptan Milamed, V'lo Kol Amar Bebes Chor Machkim, V'makom Sheinan Hashem Mishtadel Liot Ish. So somebody who is an uncultured person, you have the English on the left-hand side, someone who's an uncultured person is not sin-fearing. Someone who is an ignorant person cannot be pious. Somebody who is embarrassed can't learn, can't be a student. Somebody who is mean and kaptan, impatient, cannot be a teacher. Not everybody who does a lot of work, I mean, goes as a merchant who spends a lot of time in the office, can become smart. And in a place where there's no person standing up, you should be that person. So what does this have to do with anything? So let's skip the next mission for a second and go right to where the Yabar Benel starts talking right underneath this. Od Hevi Miseder Mishnah L'Siyua Daitosha Rebbe Ma'amar Achar She'amar Hillel. So we're bringing another proof of something that Hillel said to prove Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's point that it's all about Torah. How is this all about Torah? Again, you read the Mishnah, it seems to be nothing explicitly to do with Torah. V'nyano shehabur v'hua ish she'ein bo lo Torah v'lo mediniyot v'derech eretz. So somebody who's a boor, translated here again, an uncultured person, doesn't have Torah, doesn't have social norms either, doesn't have derech eretz. Ef shar she'yeh yirecheh. That person cannot fear sin. L'fi she'eino makir b'gnut hacheth l'ansho. He doesn't understand how bad it is what he's doing. V'ein bo lo seichel iyuni v'lo seichel ma'asi. He doesn't have the intelligence to try to figure it out, and then he doesn't have the practical elements of being able to follow through actions. And he quotes some other things here. Amr Maseches Kala, Kevan de lo yada ba'oraita mide lo yada denafresh kolomar shetorat yasher otanu el hanagot hamediniot v'nikra bor l'dmuto l'sadesh lo yizra bo davar min advarim hanikra sadeh bor k'divrei chachamenu zichronam lebracha. So he says that you're called a boor because you have absolutely nothing. It's comparable to a field that has absolutely nothing. It can't even be cultivated at all. And the important line for us was the line above that, is that the Torah is what is yasher otanu to the proper actions. It's the Torah is that what creates our norms for what to do. V'chein am ha'aretz still hasn't convinced us yet, so let's read a little bit further. V'chein am ha'aretz yu'a yodea b'hanaga medinit v'shalem b'seichel ha'ma'asi. So who's an am ha'aretz? An am ha'aretz is somebody who knows the social elements, who can interact with people, who has that quote-unquote philosophical concept of how to interact, but he can't be a chassid. What does that mean, he can't be a chassid? He can't be pious. Why can't he be pious? Because what do you need to be pious? Torah. And without Torah, it doesn't work. You can't be pious. Skipping 2 or 3 lines, where it says, V'lachain, first word on the line, V'lachain, K'mosha bor ha'ne'edar me'amaseh eno yirechet, kach ama'aret shu ha'yodeh b'mediniot eno chassid. So he can't be a chassid if you don't have Torah. And he quotes Moshe. Skip to the next paragraph. Hinei. Imkein ayadat Hillel shemidiniot ama aretz eino nechshav leklum ki im limura Torah. The way he's reading this is that ein bor yirechet and lo am aretz chasid is that you can't be shalim, you can't be perfect, you can't come to the best proper top abilities without Torah. Now notice he's not saying that it gets you nowhere, right? So what's better, to be a bor or to be an ama aretz? to be an Am Haaretz, because a boor doesn't have Torah and doesn't have the way of the world. An Am Haaretz at least has the way of the world. So that's good. It's something. But for us, it's not enough. We have to go above that. Just like Rabbi Udanasi said, that the way of the Adam is to look at yourself and to look at others and decide. So yeah, you can be an Am Haaretz if you want. You can be an Adam if you want. And that's good. It's okay. But that's not for us. Us, we go above and beyond. We go for Torah. Let's just finish the point and then I'll take a brief question. And therefore, be careful with Torah. You have to. And what elements do I now need in order to be able to learn Torah? I can't be embarrassed because then I'm not going to be able to learn. And I can't be impatient because then I'm not going to be able to teach, etc. So now he's basically giving us advice on to how to inculcate and ingrain the Torah within us. It's by being a good learner, being a good teacher. Don't do too much work, because too much work is not, you're not going to be able to study. Make sure you focus on Torah. So here's another statement of Hillel, that the broad theme of which is to follow Torah and not to follow just the Seichel Hamidini. He then, in the mission that we skipped, was the Afu Ra'ah Gulgolot Achat Shetzafal Pnei Amayim. That was the mission that said that you get what you deserve, and that whole concept was reward and punishment. This does not follow this running theme. This is a separate sub-theme of reward and punishment, so we're not going to deal with that. And then we're going to quickly look at Mishnah 7. So you have something you want to say, or you're good?
Yeah, I did, because in a way, first of all, I don't know why they're struggling so much, why it has to be so separate. Isn't it like we're human beings and we're Jews? We're not just Jews without being a human being. We have the Torah along with the fact that we start out as a Ben Adam. So,
So the question is, once I have the Torah, do I need to even focus on that Ben Adam part? Assuming that in my Torah, it encapsulates it.
Well, that's it, exactly. So, and that's what we struggled with last year when we started talking about why we need Perkei Avot. Why isn't it explicitly written in the Torah? Part of who we are and the way we behave that come before being able to, practice the mitzvot and do and be and fulfill the commandments.
At the end of the day, so what is the practical difference between the two of them? I guess at least one element will be how much time do I sit and learn Aristotle in order to get to this Chachma Hamidinit, if you will, and perfect that, because I can say the Torah is not really focusing on that. That's not really the essence of the Torah, according to one approach might be, that it's sort of two separate spheres, if you will. There's the Seichel social sphere, and then there's the Torah religious sphere. So you could separate them a little bit from each other, and that would be perhaps a way to explain the difference. Okay, so let's see the last thing of Hillel here. Mishnah chapter 2, Mishnah 7 on the bottom of this page. What did Hillel say? This we did last week, so this shouldn't be too far back. Huaya Omer, Marba Basar Marba Rima. So the more you have weight on yourself, the more worms that will come to you at one day. Marba Nechas and Marba Daiga, the more property you have, the more anxiety, worry you have. Marba Nash and Marba Kshafim, the more wives you have, the more witchcraft that will ensue as they fight with each other. Marba Shvachos, Marba Zima, the more maidservants you have, the more lewdness that will be around your house. Marba Avadim, Marba Geza, the more slaves, the more stealing. And then the flip of that is Marba Torah, Marba Chaim, more Torah, the more life. Marba Yeshiva, Marba Chachma, the more sitting and the more learning, more wisdom. Marba Eitzah, Marba Tuna, the more you look for advice, the more wisdom you get. Marba Tzedakah, Marba Shalom, the more Tzedakah you give, the more peace there is. Kana Shem Tov, Kana La'atzmo, if you acquire for yourself a good name, that is for yourself. And Kana Lo Divrei Torah, Kana Lo Chayei Olam Haba, the more words of Torah you have, the more you acquired the world to come. Flip the page, and here's where he basically says, we're not going to read this inside, but he basically points out that everything in that Mishnah was contrasting a life that is not well lived from a philosophical level, one that has too much money, and one that has too much worry and anxiety, and one that has too much lewdness and too much of anything, even from a philosophical level is not correct. But the way that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi counters those things is through what? Right? What's his response to all of these bad traits? If I was a philosopher, what would my response be? No, if I was a philosopher, what would my response be? I need to learn the social etiquette. I have to know about what's good for me, what's good for my seichel. How do I perfect my intellect? That would be the response. That would be how I fix this. But that's not what he says. What does he say? It's all about Torah. Torah, 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 Torah. So now here's our third proof that Hillel believes that it's all about Torah and not about philosophy or social etiquette. Ad kan Hillel. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right, so we're slowly running out of time, or quickly running out of time, more precisely. But I want to give you a little bit of taste of this. This part can go a little bit quicker. Hopefully we'll be done in 10 minutes. If we're not, we'll just stop. So, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This brings us back. This is probably the hardest thing we have to do, because this brings us back to last year. We started this approximately, probably more than a year ago. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students. So this is real review from a long time ago. So if you remember in Mishnah 8, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mehillel v'shamai, hu haya omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, im lamadta Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha, ki lekach notzarta. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't be machzik that to yourself. That's the reason why you were born. So that's all he says. And now, if you're the Barbanel and you're looking at this, who's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai paskening like? Who's he going by? This seems to be Hillel or Rabbi Yehuda Nasi point. It's all about Torah. Just focus on Torah. That's not exactly what he says. It just happens to be that what he said has to be about Torah. The only way this is a proof that it's all about Torah is if you're saying that I'm only putting this here to prove the point that it's about Torah. And in the words itself, he's not saying, he's not choosing Torah versus Derech Eretz. The only way this becomes a proof that it's Torah is to say that according to, and this is what the Abarbanel is saying, is that all of these Mishnayos were chosen in this order to take a side is if it's Torah or Derech, or Torah or both. So now that he's talking about Torah, oh, doesn't say anything about philosophy, oh, it must be that he's poskening on the Torah side. So you can read that inside if you want, but we'll skip that. That's right under Mishnah 8, where the Abarbanel says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai poskens like the Torah side. It's all about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, follow Torah, not philosophy. And now, what's great, and I think this is a meta theme that the Abarbanel doesn't spell out, but it's pretty fascinating, because who's arguing with each other? The first one is a father-son arguing, and now Abarbanel sets up the rest of the parak is about Rebbeim and students arguing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says it's Torah only, and all of his students are here to prove it's Torah and Derech Eretz. So it's pretty interesting. So let's read about his students. End of that, bottom of that page. Chamisha Talmidim Ayu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had five students, and here are their names. Ve'elu Hein, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Etanel, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. These are the five students. And then he tells us the good things about the five students. Hu haya Mona Shvachan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos is the Bor Sid She'enu Ma'abed Tipa. He is a plastered cistern, doesn't lose a drop, meaning what? Anybody remember? He has great memory. He remembers everything that he learns. Rabbi Yeshua, what's the praise of Rabbi Yeshua? Ashrei Yoladuto, praiseworthy is his mother, is the person who bore him. Presumably because he had good midos, according to most commentators. Rabbi Yossi was a chassid, he was pious. Rabbi Shimon ben Etana was a yirei chet, he feared sin. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was mayan hamitgaber, he was an overflowing spring. What's a mayan hamitgaber? What's that alluding to? Creativity, intellectual capacity, in terms of not memory, but novelty in approach. Hu haya omer, and then he was rating his talmidim apparently. Im yu kol chachmei Yisrael b'kaf moznayim ve'Eliezer ben Horkanos b'kaf shnia machria et kulam. If all of the sages of Israel were on a scale, and Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos was on the other side of the scale, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos would have outweighed all of the other sages at the time. Abba Shaul Omer Mishmo, Abba Shaul said in the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai, Im yu kol chachmei Yisrael b'kaf moznayim, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos af yimayen. So take Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos, take all the other chachamim, put them on one side of the scale, but then I'm going to put Rabbi Elazar on the second side of the scale, and he's going to be machriyat kulam, he's going to outweigh all of them. Right, so we have a debate as to which one outweighs the other. What does outweigh mean? Why was he rating his students? What's the purpose of this? That's not for now. We talked about that a little bit when we did the Mishnah. We go to the final page now. We'll read this one inside. The Hanira is at top of the page. Shelo nizkeru ha-talmidim ha-elek kan lo-hodiya ma'alatan. So the reason why we state the students' names is not to prove how great they are. V'gam lo lo-hodiya ma'alat Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shelamdam, and not to sort of toot his own horn that he taught all these great people. Aval hevi zichrona misader ha-mishnah. Again, this is the point of the Abarbanel, is that we're bringing this here as the compiler of the Mishnah. Right, we're putting this here on purpose. Lahakshot midivrayim v'lomar shelo ayad datam v'dat kol echad mehem notel al dat Rabbi Gamliel b'no shu Rebbe v'lo l'divrei aviv. So it's in order to prove whether or not they followed Rabbi Gamliel or the father or neither. V'hine imkein v'dateim v'til maskimim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Rabban. Their opinions don't follow the opinions of their Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The lo gam kein im Hillel v'shamai Rabbi Osav. And they don't follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Rebbeim of Hillel. And that's all the Torah-only approach. They don't follow the Torah-only approach. V'lachein amar shayu chamisha talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So I'm bringing five of them to show the multiplicity here. To show that there's a debate. V'heim al-chachamim mechukamim v'haraya and I want to prove to you how great and awesome they were, and how smart they were, and how good midos they had, because, and now I'm going to explain, that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai praised them. And the main point is that all of them are going to question Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Torah-only approach. And the question is, how do they question his Torah-only approach? And that's when the rest of the perek comes into play. I leave it up to you guys. Do you want to keep going for a few more minutes, or do you want to stop? I know we've been going for like... Keep going? Okay. If you need to leave, feel free to leave. We'll keep going to finish up this idea. So now, the next Mishnah says, Amar Lahem. So this is the students and the Rebbe. So the Rebbe tells the students, to Uru Ezu Derech Misharash Yidbak Baha Adam. What is the proper path that a person should cling to? Which is similar to how Rabbi Yudah Nasi phrased it in the beginning of the parak, so that's interesting. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ayin Tova, Rabbi Eliezer says a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chaver Tov, to be a good friend or have good friends. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shachem Tov, be a good neighbor or have good neighbors. Rabbi Shimon Omer Haroes Onolad, to be able to foresee the future, see consequences. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lev Tov, have a good heart. So we have five different opinions here, and again, feel free on your own time to review the different mafarshim on each one of those opinions when we did it last year. All the shirim are on YU Torah. So Amar Lahem Roeh Ani Et Divrei Elazar Ben Aruch Shebechlad Dvarav Divreichem. So I, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, thinks that the right answer is the last one, Rabbi Elazar's answer, Leiv Tov, having a good heart or good mind, because that included in having a good mind is being a good neighbor, being a good friend, being able to foresee the future, and being able to have a good eye. And then on the flip, the Mishnah continues. I just asked you about the good path, so now I'm going to ask you about the bad path. And for the most part, it's just the opposite of what the previous person said. Amar lahem tsu'uru ezu derech ra'ah shi'itrachek mimena ha'adam. What's the path that a person should stay away from? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the inverse of what he said before, ayin ra'ah, a bad eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer chavera, a bad friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer shachin ra, a bad neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer halove ve'eno mishalim. So this one's a little bit different. Remember, Rabbi Shimon said in the positive, it's that I should be able to foresee the future. The contrast of that is that I borrow without the ability to pay back. And to some extent, it is the inverse of not being able to see the future when I take out a loan that I can't pay it back. Echad alove mina adam kilove mina makom. We go on a little bit of a tangent here. If you borrow from a person, it's like you're borrowing from God. Hamakom baruch hu shenamar lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim tzadik chonin v'nosein. If you borrow and you can't pay back, you're actually, again, it's not just a ben adam l'chavero problem. It's also a ben adam l'makom problem. And then finally, Rabbi Lazar Omer Lev Ra, a bad heart. And Amar Lahem, just like he finished off before in the positive, saying that the Lev Tov was the best answer, so too Amar Ani Ro Ani as Divrei Elazar ben Arach Shebechlad Dvarav Divreichem. I think that Lev Ra is the worst possible, because included in Lev Ra is all the other bad things that you mentioned. So again, let's use our analysis here. What in the world does this have to do with anything according to the Abarbanel? What, this is Torah versus Derech Eretz? Where does anything talk about Torah and Derech Eretz? This seems to be just various ideas, no? Yeah?
Because if you see the world through glasses that are clouded and you see everything bad, there's no way that you'll be able to learn Torah. It will come into you in a cloud. You won't see clearly. So in order to see the Torah clearly, you have to have Ayin Tova, you have to have it be a good environment, you know, all the other pieces.
Right. So the question is that part of a Torah approach, Torah and philosophy approach? Is that nothing to do with Torah or philosophy? I mean, I get what you're saying, that there's Torah involved here, but which one is he following? So we could talk about it a little bit more, but just for time purposes for now, let me phrase it this way. If I asked you, and I think we even asked this question when we did this the first time, if I asked you, what's the path that you should follow, what should your answer be?
Torah.
Torah. Torah. Torah only, that's it. What's the path you follow? End of discussion. Torah, 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 Torah. And what's the answer that they're giving? Midos, right? Derech Eretz. Now, yes, I know you're going to say the same thing, right? So that Torah encompasses Derech Eretz. I get that. But the Abarbanel is saying is that I have an option here. I can either choose Torah only or Derech Eretz. And to the extent that I talk about in my Mishnayos and Perek Beis Torah, then I'm a Torah only person. To the extent that I start including Derech Eretz points, then I'm a Derech Eretz person, right? That's how the Abarbanel is reading it. Okay, I understand what you're saying, but that's how the Abarbanel is reading it. And then if you just read that last line in the Abarbanel, you can read through the whole thing, how he fits in everything that they say. But just that last line in the right where we ended off, it says, Mochiach, the first part of the line is blank, and the end of the line says, Mochiach, and the second to last line says, it proves, Shaya lifneim dasra begamliel zach biashar, Shiyafet talmud Torah im derech eretz, Vishalo yaskim ladasra beinu akadosh. It seems clear, Abarbanel says, they follow the combination approach of Rabban Gamliel. And now this part goes quickly, because now we're going to go through the statements that each one of them said, and as he reads the statements as each one of them says, he's going to say, look, that proves the point that it's Yafet talmud Torah im derech eretz. It's good to combine the two. And here I think you get to the biggest problem that the Abarbanel has. He's going to try to stretch too many things into his thesis, and it's actually going to not comment on something, and I'll ask you why he doesn't. So Mishnah 10. They said three things. Rabbi Eliezer said, the first student said, Yikvot chavercha chaviv alacha kishocha, honor your friend like yourself. Val tinoach lichos, don't get angry easily. Vishub yom echad lifnei misascha, do tshuva the day before you die. Veve mitchamem kineged ran shel chachamim, be close to chachamim, warm up against them. Veve zar begachalatan shlo techaveh, but don't get too close that they're going to bite you. Shene shichatan shichat shual vakitzitan akitzat akrab, v'lachishatan lachishat saraf, v'chol divrehem gedach aleish, because there's some element of the chachamim burning fire, etc. So get close, but don't get too close. Have a proper awe and reverence of them. And all he says about our discussion is one line. Hine midivrei hachacham hazeh yimtza siyua ledivrei Rabban Gamliel lefi shekol limudav u'mosarav hayu derech eretz v'nahagah medinit. This proves Rabban Gamliel how? Because all of his mussar is about derech eretz. That's his proof. He talks about good midos. Okay, he also talks about tshuva. Okay? I mean, here, I think, sir, your point here is highlighted. The contrast, like, okay, this is Torah. This isn't derech eretz. This is Torah. Right? So, but according to him, I have a choice. Do I talk about just Torah or derech eretz? The fact that I talk about derech eretz, I'm choosing one side. Next mission, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ayin Har, Rabbi Yetzer Har, Vesinas Abrios, Motzinas Adam Min HaOlam, a bad eye, the Yetzer Hara, bad Yetzer, and hating people, brings me out of this world. And then he says here, again, I had a choice. What should I have said? Either Torah or Derech Eretz. I chose Derech Eretz. The last line in what he says, V'gam medrav eila yira, shetia daitok rabbi gamliel, kevin shlo zachar inyan haTorah. He didn't say anything about Torah. V'ase ikir me'anaga medinus v'derech Eretz. Flip the page. Coming towards an end. Same thing with Mishnah 12. I have a choice. Do I say Torah or Derech Eretz? Rabbi Yossi Omer, imamon chabercha chaviv alacha kisholcha. Your money should be as good as your own money. Treat your friend's money like your own money. And prepare yourself to learn Torah, because it doesn't come as an inheritance. Everything should be l'shem shemayim. Now this is a problem. Right? So he talks about Torah, but Rachel's right. Even the person who talks about Torah doesn't disagree that there's Talmud, there's Derech Eretz also. So from the fact that he combined Torah and Derech Eretz proves that he's the Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz side. Mishnah 13, Rabbi Shimon Omer Bezar, but Kriyat Shema v'Tfila. This one's hard. Right? Be careful with Kriyat Shema and Tfila. Shikshatamit Palal Altas Tfilatcha Keva El Rachamim. When you daven, don't make it established, fixed, like you're doing it every single day. Rather, it should be a supplication, mercy. Rachamim v'tachanunim lifnei makom barachu shenemar, as the pasuk says, kikel chanun barachum hu erech apayim barav chesed v'nicham al arav v'al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha. So it says three things. Be careful with kriyat shema tefillah. Don't make your davening trite. Rather it should be supplication, mercy. And the final thing is, don't be a rasha in your own eyes. So again, you have Torah, tefillah, but you're combining it with being a Rasha. So therefore he says two lines, Ha'amna mimash zachar hazeh rakat fil kriya shema v'tzaraf lazeh ha'nagat derech eretz v'alti rasha v'fnei atzmecha matzanu ra'inu she'ein shehu daito kedaito v'gamliel. You have to combine. He's combining the two together. And here is where he's silent. Mishnah 14. Rabbi Lazar Omer have a shakud l'mod Torah. Shakud means be diligent in learning Torah. V'dama she'tashiv la'apikores, know what to refute in apikores. V'da lifnei mi'at ta'amel, know before who you're toiling in Torah, presumably. V'neman hu bal malachtecha she'yishalem schar pulasecha, and know that God rewards your behavior. Abar banal? Nothing. He doesn't say, he has commentary on this Mishnah, but in terms of saying whether it's Talmud Torah or Derech Eretz, he doesn't say anything. I'm just guessing, because this Mishnah doesn't have anything to say about Derech Eretz. It's just a Torah Mishnah. Now, I don't know why then why do you have to think in such strong categories? Say, okay, so this Rabbi Lazar disagrees. But then it calls into question everything. So he starts to, so he just says nothing instead. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a question that he decides not to say that, anything on that. And then finally, the last two Mishnayos is not the students, but actually contemporary. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayom Katsar v'amalacha merubah, there's not a lot of time. V'apoalim atzelim v'aschar harbei, u'bala bayis dochek, there's a lot to do. Everybody's lazy, but make sure you get reward. Know that you get reward. And then he continues, Huaya Omer, lo alacha amlacha ligmor. It's not on you to finish. Lo ata ben chorin li batel mimena, but know that you are not allowed to not try to finish. Im lamadta Torah harbe, nosim l'chaschar harbe. V'nemenu ba'malach t'chash yisham schar pulatecha. You learn a lot of Torah, you get a lot of reward. God will reward you. V'dam matan scharin shal tzadikim latid lavo. And know that God, you get a lot of reward for tzadikim. This is Rabbi Tarfon. So here's the question. What did we just read? I know I read it quickly. But what did we just read? What was the essence of both of those Mishnayos? So according to the Abar Banel, we have to answer the question. Is this Torah or Torah and Derech Eretz? Torah. There's no word about Derech Eretz. It's all about Torah. Learn a lot of Torah. There's not a lot of time to learn a lot of Torah. God gives you a lot of reward for learning a lot of Torah. Torah, 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 Torah. So now, it's fascinating, because how do we end off the chapter? Torah. And now, if you assume that Rabbi Danasi put these Mishnayos together, there's a beautiful psychological insight when it comes to how do you remember things. Right? So it's called the serial position effect. You remember, if there's a list of things, you remember the first thing and the last thing. The first thing is Torah. The last thing is Torah. Forget about everything in the middle. Right? And that's how you leave off. You leave off, I'm leaving this off with, it's all about Torah. And then, the coming attractions, bottom of the page, what about chapter 3? Because that's the next thing we have to do, is chapter 3. Hakavanah, this is summing up everything on the coming attractions section on the bottom of the page. Hakavanah, kololot, beperek ha-gimel, hazehi, what's chapter 3 about? Levakesh drachim v'ofanim leharfik et ha'adam michto. The whole essence of chapter 3 is to find strategies to avoid sinning. Ki biyot ha'adam sovev al biur ha'gimel dvarim shezachar shimon ha'tzadik. So chapter 1 was about al ha'torah v'al ha'avoda v'al gemilot chasadim asher hem ha'kolim hazikuch v'ha'kishut. Those three things are how I perfect myself, how I refine myself. Asay v'lo ta'asay, Sur Meira Ba'aseh Tov, Lachin Ba'ushar Perkei HaMasechta Azot Kulam Sovevim Al HaKotevim HaHem. So the first perek is about Torah Avodah Gmilus Chasadim. That's the Aseh Tov, right? But now we have to talk about the Sur Meira. How do you stay far away from things? Perek Sheni was about Chakarnu V'Darashnu Ba'aseh Tov. Rotze Lomar, is it about Torah? Ma'ayim Advarim Asher Yaseh Adam L'kinyan Shleimuto. Everything we just did, this entire shir, was about how do you become Shalem, the Aseh Tov, the doing good, the perfection of the character. Ha'ayimi Yatorah Bovad, is it just with Torah? Oshi Yitztarif Ima Davar Meha Mitfilosofi T'vachakira, or do I combine it with philosophy and inquisition in terms of my Seichel? Uba'u Alav Shnei De'ot Kimosh Zacharti V'siyu Mamreya Kamunim Al Kol, as I explained through my 50 pages, is that there's a machlokus about it. But now the Perek HaGimel HaZeh Ratza Misadera Mishnah Leva'er Inyan Sur Meira. We finished the Aseh Tov, what's good, the Torah, the philosophy, the Torah Avod, the Gemulas Chasadim. Now everything else is about how to stay away from bad. Shu'achelek Ha'achar Mikinyan HaShleimut Ba'azeh Yisov HaPerek Kulo Kemosh Va'er. And the entire third Perek, as the Abar Benel will explain, and as we will see starting when we start back up, that it is all about Sur Meira.
Okay. Since we got over the line, there's some cake for dessert if anybody wants. No cake.
Question, Chaim.
So, when Socrates says the unexamined life is not worth living, does that mean that everything we talk about today is applicable only to Jews? Is there any way to combine his point of view, which is every human being in the world, to examine life and come to a conclusion about
everybody agrees with that. Even Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi agrees with that. Right? That's the Bameshu Adam. You have Socrates. Bameshu Adam, you have Aristotle. The question is, for us, do we focus on that plus Torah or just Torah? For them, we hope, you know, follow some elements of, you know, ethics and morals that the philosophers established. We want that to be as the starting point. The question is, for us, do we focus on that plus Torah or just